Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well tonight. It's just been a good evening. Praise the Lord for His presence in this place and the opportunity that we have to be here. Still have some daylight outside and dry streets, and so no fear of leaving tonight, and so we don't have to have an abbreviated service, right? We can have a full-blown Sunday evening service and go as long as we need to go, and we just praise the Lord for that. Acts chapter 20. We're actually going to be dealing with some of those issues tonight. Acts chapter 20. We're going to be reading verse 6 down to verse 12. Sunday nights we've been in a series and we've been going through and preaching and teaching on little-known Bible characters. Little-known Bible characters. We have been going from the Old Testament to the New Testament, back to the Old Testament, then back to the New Testament. Just been alternating off on each Sunday. And so last Sunday we were in the Old Testament, and so tonight we're going to be back in the New Testament with this little-known Bible character. And as we read the story, you might kind of bring back some memories of something you've read or something you've heard. I don't know that you've ever heard a message preached on it, possibly so. But go ahead and stand with me. We're going to be reading verse 6 down to verse 12. Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 6. Paul on his missionary journeys. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus. Eutychus being fallen into a deep sleep, and as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him, said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." When he therefore was come up again, and had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this evening again, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for placing within us that desire and the understanding of the need to come back to a Sunday night service. And I just pray, God, I thank you for what we've already received tonight. If we was to close right now, it would have been well worth being here for what we've already received. But Father, we know that as we assemble ourselves together, you would have us to preach the Word of God. And I just pray now that as we look into this passage and present the truths that are here, I pray that you would empower the preaching once again. Use me to bring forth that message that you have for each one of us this evening. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Eutychus. His significance for this New Testament church age. And that's what we're having here. We find that Jesus Christ established the New Testament church. The New Testament church age was beginning. And in the book of Acts, a lot of the things were taking place, and New Testament churches were popping up all around. And the completion of the Word of God was coming to a head to where we would have the full revelation made available to all Christians and to every church. And so it's just an exciting time during this transition between the Old Testament to the New Testament after Christ, and to understand about the significance of the New Testament church age. And so Eutychus, there's a reason that God has this biblical account preserved for us. And so I think there's many things that we can learn from this account and from the Bible character that we're looking at here tonight. Called Eutychus. First of all, in verse 7, we find that this particular event confirms the importance of the first day of the week. Amen. As a day that the church is to assemble ourselves together to worship the Lord and to preach the Word of God. And so because we find here, as Paul, they had been there, verse 6 said that they had been there for about 7 days, and upon the first day of the week. First day of the week would be Sunday, the Lord's Day. It was a day that the disciples came together and were used to come together. It was the day that they knew that Jesus had established for them to assemble themselves together. And the disciples came together to break bread. Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And so, first of all, we look at this and we find that it's confirmation of the importance of the first day of the week to assemble ourselves together. Praise the Lord that Jesus established that. He resurrected on the first day of the week for a purpose. He revealed that he was Lord of the Sabbath day. And as being Lord of the Sabbath day, he was the one that could redirect us into this day that would be the most important day of the week, which would be Sunday. And can I tell you today, and even though we're well into 2,000 years into the church age, we must not allow Sundays to become common to us. Sunday is not to be like any other day of the week. As a nation, we established that for some time ago in the beginning. Sundays was somewhat acknowledged as a very special day to the people of the United States of America, a Christian nation. And there was a reason for that. The reason for that is that the Word of God declares it. That Jesus established this as a day that we assemble ourselves together. It's a day we bring the believers, bring the tithes into the storehouse. It's a day that we come together to fellowship. It's a day that we come together to unite in our worship of God. Do not allow Sundays to become commonplace to you. I often think back in my childhood when I was being raised. I had different clothes for different occasions. We had clothes that we played in. We had those that were designated as school clothes. And then we had those that was designated as church clothes. I had play shoes. Now, they weren't much different, but we find that they were the run-down ones. They were the ones with the holes and the ones that were barely still able to tie under your feet, you know. But and then you did what you're supposed to. You played in those. And then there was another level of clothing that we had to wear to school. Respect school. Understand it's not a place just to go play. It's a place to go learn. It's a place to go get an education. It's a place to go and respect the teachers, those that are over you, those that are trying to help you with an education. But the most important day, and the best of the best of the clothes, the best shoes that we had, well, they were set aside. And they were set aside for the most important thing that my parents wanted to get across to us, and that is to worship God. And when you go to church, you understand that it's not going out to play. When you go to church, it's not like going even to school. It's the most important day of the week. I thank God for that. Today, I believe it's become all too common. It's not separated from any other day of the week, outside of maybe a weekend off, a day off. As we study the Word of God, we find that Jesus established the day. And so as we looked at this particular account and this account of Eutychus, there was an emphasis on the importance of the first day of the week. And I praise the Lord for that. Verse 8, it confirms as well that this was there was the importance of when we assembled ourselves together, not to forsake the preaching of the Word of God. It was somewhat of a known thing that when they assembled themselves together, that Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And the Bible says, and there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. Not only does this confirm that there were to be preaching in the church service, but it also confirms that Sunday night service is biblical. Amen. God recorded it. It's in the Bible. It's to help us understand the establishing of this New Testament church age. And can I tell you that we cannot allow Sundays to become commonplace. We cannot allow preaching to become commonplace. And we cannot allow the other services, when we assemble ourselves together, to become commonplace. There's an importance in coming back Sunday night. There's an importance to, if you're able to come on Wednesday night, it's the church assembles itself together.
The church is here to teach and to preach the Word of God. People come so that they might have a Bible study. And people wanting to have Bible studies, I hear it all the time. Well, we need to have a Bible study now, and a Bible study then Tuesday, and a Bible study Wednesday, and a children's Bible study, and a men's Bible study, and a ladies' Bible study, and a teenage Bible study. And I'm not against any of that. But can I tell you, it cannot replace the assembling of ourselves together. You want a Bible study? Come to Wednesday night service. Come to Sunday school Sunday morning. Come to Sunday morning worship. Come to Sunday night worship. Listen to me. You're going to have Bible presented to you. Take advantage of what's already have been established. You find most of those people just want to sit down and just talk and fellowship and just want. There's nothing wrong with that, but say what it is. But if you want a Bible study, what better than what God designed to study the Bible? The assembling of ourselves together as His church. The Bible opened up and preached as God would have it to be preached. There's a reason we have Sunday school. There's a reason we have Sunday morning services. And I, as a pastor, I understand we're trying to use each one in a way that can best help the people that are going to be there at that time. Sunday morning, Sunday night. Wednesday nights cannot just become common to us. Day and night, Paul preached to them. Day and night. When they assembled themselves together, he knew that's what God had ordained. That's what the people would need. They assembled to worship. As Paul came to preach, the people came to hear. Can I tell you, there's something wrong with a true believer if they do not want to hear biblical preaching. Something wrong there. Either you have something in your life that you're trying to hide, you don't want to come under the conviction, and you know that God knows, and you understand that when you're in church, you're very vulnerable to the Holy Spirit of God bearing witness with your spirit and reminding you of something that you need to do that you're not doing, or to remind you of something that you need to confess and forsake that should not be a part of your life. And we know that's what happens when we come to church. And so those that do not enjoy, those that do not look forward to the preaching of the Word of God, can I tell you, if you're truly saved, there's a problem somewhere. Those that are always trying to get out of the preaching, and they'll sit in their pews and they'll be able to sing and do all the different things. But when the preaching starts, they have to get up and go to the bathroom. There's something wrong with that. Why did the urge just happen to wait until the time of the preaching of the word? And why does it take you until the invitation to come back in? Amen. Why would somebody want to come to church to just wander through the hallways when the word of God is being preached in the sanctuary? Praise the Lord for those that volunteer and those that are used in the nurseries and the toddlers and the junior church ministries. But it should never be a greater desire to be out of the services than to be in the service. For the emphasis is on this place right here. The emphasis on assembling ourselves together to worship the Lord and to receive the preaching of the Word of God. Now praise the Lord for those that volunteer, and we need that. But our hearts ought to be, and as often as we can be, right here. Right here. They assemble themselves on Sunday. They assemble themselves so that they might hear the preaching. Paul, not only did he preach Sunday morning, he preached all day. Into the night. See, preaching provides food, spiritual food, that is necessary to sustain spiritual life and energy. Last week, I mean, we had services, praise the Lord, but many, and I do not encourage anyone to get out in the wintertime if you don't feel safe, but your desire should have been here, and I believe it was, and that's why you're here today. But when you miss it, when you're not able to be here, there ought to be something a void in your life. You ought to be so used to being fed the Word of God when you come to church. And when you're not able to be in church, there ought to be somewhat of a void. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Because it provides spiritual food that is necessary to sustain spiritual life. Peter wrote, feed the flock of God. Feed the flock of God. Timothy wrote in 2 Timothy, as he's writing to young Timothy, one of the pastoral epistles in 2 Timothy chapter 4, a very well-known passage of Scripture. Let me read it to you. It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Prepare them for that. Prepare humanity for the ultimate appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the ultimate judgment seat of Christ. Prepare people to stand before God and give an account. And he says, the way you do this is, he says, preach the word. Amen. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, who only want to have one service a week. And then in that one service, it's not going to be anything that's going to bring conviction into your life. Because it's not what people want to hear, that are not wanting to hear the truth, that they're not wanting to change their lives, they're not wanting to get their lives in submission to the will of God. For the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou, Timothy, in all things endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist. What is the work of an evangelist? Preach the word of God. Make full proof of thy ministry. And then over again in other pastoral epistles in Titus in chapter 1, we find here that Paul, writing to Titus, says this in verses 1 through 3. Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, acknowledging the truth, what is really true, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times, in this church age, he's saying, manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Paul says, I'm a preacher. It's what God's called me to do. It's part of God's will for his church. Wow. Can't minimize it. Can't minimize Sunday. Can't minimize assembling ourselves together. Can't minimize the idea that we are here to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Which brings us to now, Eutychus. Amen. That's just preparing us. That's what the Bible said, and preparing us to understand that there was a man named Eutychus in the service. Verses 9 through 12. It speaks to us about this man, Eutychus. Likely had been there all day. Paul was all day preaching. Took some breaks time and again, no doubt. Pretty much they were there. They were assembled together on the Lord's Day. It was Sunday. All day on Sunday's the Lord's Day. And they were taking advantage of it because Paul was going to have to depart. And so this was like a revival speaker coming in. This was like an evangelist coming in. This was like somebody coming in to reinforce what their pastor had been teaching them all along. New Testament church. And he was going to do it, be there all day long, preaching. Likely Eutychus had been there all day. In verses 9 through 12, it reveals that he falls asleep in the evening service and dies. That's right. Don't lose sight of that. The Bible tells us about some that tried to tell the Lord and did not bring all the tithes to the storehouse, and they died. You didn't know that just because he fell asleep in the church service, they died. Eutychus, the only one that I know of that's given to us in the Bible in accounting for this New Testament church age, that actually died because he fell asleep in services. Paul performs a miracle of healing The Bible says he come up dead. And yet, must have had good reason. We'll get into that in just a minute, because God brings him back to life. Paul goes down, falls on him, prays over him, and said, God's going to bring him back to life. His life is still in him. Performs a miracle of healing. Paul then stays until daybreak. And then all of them depart. Look out what the Bible says in verse 12. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. They all departed from the service greatly comforted. And I say, wow, what another great Lord's Day. What another great Lord's Day. Now that's what the Bible tells us, what took place. And we've learned some of the practical applications of why this event is given to us in scriptures. But for the rest of the time tonight, I'm going to present two things. The importance for all worshipers to learn. And what's important for preachers to learn. Based on what we find here in this story of Eutychus. First of all, as we look to this, as far as we know, we have every indication that Eutychus was there all day long. He could have went home. He could have said, you know, well, I've been here most of the day and I'm getting very tired and it's been a hard week and a lot of things are going on in my life and I'm getting sleepy, a little tired. So I think I'm just going to go home and just maybe rest this evening and not go back and not be a part of the evening service. As far as they know, Eutychus could have done that. But there was something working inside of this man that said, I don't want to miss out on whatever God has for me. Because Sunday only comes along once every 7 days. Did you hear that? Sunday only comes along once every 7 days. I've got 6 days to rest and 6 days to do what needs to be done and to readjust my schedule and do whatever and do this and that. But the Lord's Day is only one day of the week, and Sundays only come once every 7 days. Oh, how we need to be reminded of that. Amen. And the importance of that day. Most important day of the week. If there's something really important going on at your employment and would affect you, I think you'd want to be there on that day. Well, he came prepared and excited to learn or to hear from God. To hear from God. If I understand that Sunday's an important time, I understand that God has established it, not man, but God has established it, and then God has brought to the services, God has somebody there representing him that's going to stand before the congregation and going to preach what thus saith the Lord. And it's an opportunity for me to be able to worship God. It's an opportunity for me to be able to encourage and be encouraged by my fellow believers in Christ. It's an opportunity for me to grow in my Christian faith. It's going to be an opportunity for me that I can't find anywhere else. I'm going to come prepared. Prepared to receive whatever it is God has for me on that day. I'm going to come understanding that God has prepared for me something that will feed me spiritually and prepare me for whatever is to come after this, for the next 6 days before I'm able to come back to church. Eutychus could have went home, but he did not, because I believe his desire was to stay and receive all that God had for him in that service. Matter of fact, in Acts in chapter 17, just a couple pages back, we find what the Bible says about how we should come together, our mindset. In verse 10 and 11, right, the Bible says, verse 11, and these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. As Paul traveled, there was some that understood it and some that didn't. But he said these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. When Paul showed up as this an evangelist, as Paul showed up to preach the word of God, the people came and they came with a readiness of mind to hear the words of God, knowing that Paul was not going to say what he wanted to say, but Paul represented an apostle. He represented one that spoke the very words of God. And they come with a readiness to mind, to hear, and to make applications in their own lives. But not only that, they said, the Bible says, word with all readiness of mind, and search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Even though I know that God's going to work through the preaching, but understand that preachers are still human. And they might be confused, and they might say something that's really not biblical, and they might get in the flesh even during the preaching sometimes. And I want to make sure that what I take as the word of God comes from the word of God. God prepares me, as I believe God prepares you for Sundays, for when we assemble ourselves together. You're battling things. There's no way that I can keep track of everything that's going on with everyone that's here on every service. No way. But this I do know. God knows what's going on in your life. God knows where you've been, where you're at, and where He wants you to be, where He wants you to go. And all week long, God is aware of what's going on in your life. All week long, God is preparing me to stand from behind this pulpit and feed the flock of God. Amen. Preach the word of God. That's important for us to understand, both of us, the congregation as well as the pastors, those who stand behind this pulpit. Try to encourage my staff every time they're getting ready. You have to be aware of that. Be aware of the importance. Understand that you're going to stand in my place, and you're going to stand to preach and to feed the flock of God. Don't take it lightly. Let God prepare you. Be prepared to preach every message. See, the preaching of the Word of God is more than just an outline. The one thing that Satan's going to work hard against every week is to keep you from being here and receiving what God has for you, and every week to keep me from being in touch with what God would have you to hear. There's spiritual battles. And as I preached on this morning, I can't do it on my own. I know that. Outside of looking to God for His strength, outside of looking to God to enable me through His power, will not accomplish what God wants us to accomplish in our worship services. Sometimes that burden on me, if I think too long about it, it's overwhelming. Because it's affecting lives. It's affecting lives and families. Decisions that you'll make. And I look around, those that are not here, they're not going to be as equipped if they're not here to hear what God has for them. And my heart's out and wanting every member. I'm here Saturday nights to prepare me. Not to prepare my outline, but to prepare me and to pray for you. That you would listen to God. That you would be able to come and fight off all those distractions and fight off all those attempts of Satan to keep you from the services. And that God would meet with us. Every Saturday night, I've been doing that for 30 years. I believe it makes a difference. Yes. Yeah. I put myself in your homes every Saturday night. I believe it makes a difference. If nothing else, it better prepares me in understanding the importance of the preaching of the Word of God. Sometimes I feel like I failed. But in my heart, I've got to know that I've done all that I could. Sometimes this mind just doesn't work as good as it maybe used to. Some weeks are a little harder. Some weeks it's harder to focus. And I've got to call out, God, strengthen me. Strengthen my mind. Prepare me to be used.
the importance of all worshipers to learn. Come prepared, excited to learn. And then somewhat a humorous but very important, I think it's a valid point, do not pick a bad seat. If you were going to a Pacers game, if you're going to support your favorite athletic team, and they said you can take any seat that you want, I wonder if the bleachers would fill up first. I wonder if those nosebleed sections all the way up there, would they be the first ones to fill up? I can answer quite confidently, no. The first ones that would fill up would be the ones right behind your favorite team. Man, I can sit behind and hear their conversations, and I can hear what they're talking about, what the coach is saying to them as far as the game plans, and I can be right there, center court. Can I tell you, it is important that you pick the right seat. Now, not everyone can pick the front row, but if you look down here, the front row is empty. Let me see, that front pew, that's empty too. And this one over here, that's empty too. I must not be your favorite team. If you have a tendency to fall asleep, do not sit in the window. Basically, that's where he's at. He's tired. He's been there all day. And now there's an evening service, and they're going back into the preaching of the Word of God. And the Bible says there's a lot of lights. I mean, the pastor was doing his part, wanted to make sure that there was a brightness there. There was enough light for everyone to be able to see and to hear what was going on. The church had done their part in preparing for an evening service. Eutychus comes back, and he is wearied for whatever reason. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But understanding that he must have been a little bit weary, a little bit tired, and he chose to sit in the window. Bad choice for one who falls asleep, because he fell and died. If you have a tendency to fall asleep in church, you should not sit in the back where it's maybe a little bit more conducive. You shouldn't sit in the balcony where it's a little more quiet and a little warmer up there too, yes. I'm sure that everyone up there can verify it's a little bit warmer up there. You shouldn't sit behind one of the poles thinking that preacher can't see me. So the Bible has this account, and we have Eutychus, and I believe that there's many lessons here. There's much for us to learn from this, the significance of the testimony of Eutychus in the scriptures. Don't pick a bad seat if you're easily distracted. You see, this seat right here, this front pew, there's no distractions in front of it. Every seat that you pick that's further back, listen to me, there's more distractions. If somebody's going to get up, if you're on the front pew, you would never notice that. If somebody is reading or passing a letter to another youth friend or something going on, you will never notice that. Why? Because there's no distractions on the front pew. But the farther you go back, the more distractions. Now, if you're not easily distracted and you can stay focused, hey, it's all right. Sit on the back pew. Sit in the balcony. But what I'm saying, we're here to receive all that God has for us. Don't come planning on going to sleep. Don't come planning on being distracted and not hearing the Word of God. If you're affected by the temperature in the room, choose the right seat. You see these vents? For even the not so mechanical minded person,
realize that in the summertime, the cool air comes out of these vents. If you're normally get too hot and you need to be a little cooler, sit underneath one of these vents in the summertime. Because it's going to be cooler. In order to cool this entire facility, the air coming out is a lot cooler than what it will eventually be once it mixes with the rest of the air in the auditorium. So the closer to that vent you are, the cooler it's going to be. If you are cold most of the time in the summertime, don't sit under one of those vents. Choose a seat away from one of those vents. These two big ones up here, they just dump all cold air in the summertime. So right here, praise the Lord for that. Amen. All this cold just dumps right here. I love it. In the wintertime, those same vents, if you like cool air, are not your friend in the summer, in the wintertime. Because those same vents in the wintertime, because it's cold in the auditorium, the heat has to be brought into the auditorium to warm it up to a certain temperature. The closer you are to those vents in the wintertime, the hotter you're going to get. What can you do about it? Do not change the temperature in the room. Do not change the thermostats. Amen? Don't do that. Change your seat. Change your seat. So, some things important for all worshipers to learn. Come prepared and excited, and don't pick a bad seat. Important for things for preachers to learn. Even the Word of God says this. Look back with me to Acts in chapter 20. I want you to see something, and you'll enjoy this. Verse 10. God writes, and this is His word. The Bible says, verse 9, that there sat at a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching. Even God writes, Paul, a little bit too long. If people are dying in your services, if they're falling out of the pews and falling out of the windows, possibly, Paul, you're just going a little too long. Even the Lord said it. So if you're preaching or teaching, realize you can go too long. So in order to not go too long, we have to realize that what time we have. Now, Paul even picked up on this. Look, if you will, after that happened, Paul was long preaching. Eutychus falls off. He dies. Paul stops his preaching. Paul goes down to him and covers him and prays. And God allows Paul to be used to bring a miracle and bring this boy back, this man back to life. And afterwards, look what the Bible says. When he therefore was come up again, and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till day break of day. Afterward, Paul fellowshipped. Afterward, Paul talked all night long, but possibly answering questions that did not necessarily relate to all the people. Now, he was there. This is the last time there, and Paul was filled with a lot of knowledge and insight and understanding, but not everyone was ready to receive all of that. And so Paul made himself available to counsel. Paul made himself available to talk with many that needed certain types of help that would come to him afterwards. And Paul, after he was long preaching, he was trying to accomplish everything, but not everybody possibly needed all that what Paul had. And so Paul needed to realize, I need to preach the message to the entire congregation that they need, and then make myself available to help certain ones with their individual certain needs. And he stayed afterwards until daylight. Just counseling, just talking, just helping. Praise the Lord for that. So understand the time frame that we have.
there was an evangelist. He came to the church. He preached for an hour and a half after the pastor told him only 45 minutes. Afterwards, the evangelist told him that, well, God told him to do that. And the pastor's reply was, well, God told me not to invite you back again. I think the pastor needs to be aware of the time frame that he has. When you invite preachers in, you let them know. Whenever I go out, whenever I preach anywhere else, I am aware of time. And I always ask the pastor, I said, all right, what are they used to? What are they accustomed to on Sunday mornings? What are they? Because not every church is like this church that we go, and everyone's a little bit different in personality. And so on Sunday nights, what are your people? What time are they accustomed to getting out? What time are they accustomed to getting out on a Wednesday night or on a revival night or whatever it might be? I make myself aware of time because time is important. And we don't want to take any more time than what's necessary. And so what we have to be, first of all, aware of is the congregation and what are their expectations of the preaching of the Word of God. What are their expectations of when the church service is going to let out? Because that's what they come prepared for. Even scripturally, I mean, even spiritually minded people come with somewhat of an expectation of when the services are going to let out. I think we need to be mindful of that. Know what you need to get across. If you're teaching a class, if you're preaching or teaching in a junior church setting, Sunday school setting, or if you have an opportunity to speak to a group, you ought to have a message statement for your audience, for whoever they might be. If I'm preaching to a youth department, if I'm preaching to whatever it might be, I'm aware of who it is that I'm preaching to because I've already prayed and I've been spent time with God. And God, help me to have your message for this group. Help me to have your message for whoever it is that I am speaking to because they don't need to hear what I have to say. I am here representing you. And God, I want you to strengthen me and give me insight into what they have need of. And so as I'm preparing, before I ever stand before that class or that congregation, I already have God's message and I could put it in a statement of what I want you to leave with. Now, if I have more time, I can better develop that. If I have more time, I can break it down and maybe give you a little bit more insight, maybe a little bit more illustration, whatever it might be. But I am aware of the time that we have, but yet I am going to get God's message out within the time frame that I have been given. I think it's important for us to do that. And lastly, don't make the message about you. I very seldom use personal illustrations about me. Now, I do from time to time, but only if it fits right in with whatever the message is. I'm not one that's going to tell you a lot of stories about myself. I'm not going to tell you a lot of stories about this and that because I'm not here to present me. The message I preach is not about me. The message I preach is what God has for you. I'm just a vessel that has yielded to him for him to work through. I've sat in messages and heard messages for that is all about the individual. And I left knowing more about the individual, but I had nothing from God. When people leave, they need to leave with God's message on your mind. And I love this. After that, after all of that with Eutychus, and they brought the young man alive, he'll never forget that day. I guarantee you, he never sat in the window again. I don't believe he would ever fall asleep in church services again either. And we're not a little comforted. They left the worship service after meeting with God, rejoicing. Taking with them that spiritual help that they would need to live a spiritual life. What a blessing the life of Eutychus brings to us. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. I believe that God has this story in the Bible for a significant purpose for the church. I know how we need to learn from that. I don't know exactly how God spoke to you through this message, but I trust that He has. And I trust that you will have a greater appreciation for Sunday, greater appreciation for the opportunity we have to assemble ourselves together, to worship Him, to receive from the Bible the truths of God, and to leave stronger, spiritually prepared for whatever's ahead of us. An invitation is an opportunity to respond. Ask God just how you need to apply the word. If there's a decision that needs to be made, don't hesitate to make it. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the opportunity to be in church tonight. Pray that you would work now as only you can. I pray that you would just take the message, help us to make the applications as you would have us to, as we need to. Bless in this invitation tonight. In Jesus' name.